Hallelujah. Wow. I believe if that was a prayer that you uttered here this morning in sincerity, that God is standing and he's waiting. Standing. He's standing up. He's waiting. And if you have committed this morning that you are ready to surrender every care to him, he is willing to meet you where you're at. We say that we come to the river, that river of life that comes from the throne of God. And this morning, we have an awesome opportunity to be part of the family of God. And I believe that it is God's heart that we fellowship together, that we come together, we bring honor and glory to him, to his name. That's our purpose. That's what God has created. When he placed his Holy Spirit in you, it was in that you are now able to fellowship together in a more intimate way than ever would be imagined. But recognizing again this morning that we have an awesome responsibility to our fellowship, to fellowship together, there's another responsibility we have. And that is, while it feels good, and it is good to get together, it's good to come into the fellowship of the Lord this morning. But you know what? There is a lost and a dying world right outside our doors. And the challenge that I believe that God has for us this morning, again, is not a new challenge, but it's one to stir up our minds, to stir up our spirits, to stir us up to remember that this is not just what it's about. This is the benefit. This is the good part of being part of the family of God, is that we fellowship together, we sing together, we sing songs together, we look into God's word together, we share with each other, we're able to share our burdens and our hearts with each other. There's some this morning who do not have that opportunity. And I believe it is for all of us to remember that we are called to be those people who will be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in taking the gospel outside these doors. Are you with me? We work with them. We live with them. We go to the market with them. They are all around us. People who have not given themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder this morning, as I looked at this message and I pondered in my heart, and how much have we lost the passion? Or the question came to mind, have we lost the passion for the lost souls that we're living with every day, that we're working with? Are we able to go to work with people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and are somehow calloused to the fact that someday they will spend an eternity in hell if the message doesn't reach them? And I was sobered again. And I was brought to accountability in my spirit. How often have I taken seriously the command that Jesus gave, that God gave, for me to be the hands and feet in this world that I live in? And I ask you this morning, to the start of the message, how are you doing? And you can turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and some familiar verses, but I titled the message this morning, The Power in Witness. And I just appreciated Leon sharing here this morning and the passion that Leon has to get the message out. And I believe that there are more of you here this morning. I don't doubt that there are ways, different ways that you are getting the message out to a lost and dying world, and if you are of the kingdom of God, then that is what needs to happen. And so what I'm going to focus on here a little bit this morning is looking at the power in witness. And I believe that all of us recognize this morning that if we are going to be effective for the kingdom of God, then we need to understand and recognize the Spirit of God moving through us. And I took four Sundays to talk about being rooted, that we would grow, that we would become all that God wants us to be. And this morning, I believe, is the result of what should happen if we are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Then we should be excited about what the message is that we have to share with the world. And if we're not excited, why aren't we excited? What's the problem? Is it fear? Might be. Is it that I just don't care? Is it that I'm too busy? Have I become too caught up in the things of this world that it is choking out the gospel message and I don't care anymore? I hope not. But when we recognize the power of God in us and the scripture that instructs us that we are and will be, we will be the witnesses for Jesus Christ. We will be. When the power of the Holy Spirit is upon us. And if we are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, then let that power flow through you. Let that power flow through you. Let me read quickly Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them, this is Jesus, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And I am continually amused that they are still connecting with the fact that Jesus is somehow physically going to restore some kind of kingdom back to them. And he says this, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. And this is the verse, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And I recognize this morning, without a doubt, that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you. And it is a responsibility we have to the Holy Spirit to be faithful to and to live out our lives according to the Holy Spirit, being led by his power. And I think sometimes we take for granted, or else is there things that are keeping us from really tapping into the Holy Spirit power that is within us? And so my challenge this morning is to call us back to recognizing again that there is a power within you that is incredible. You know, I got on... Well, first of all, let me just give some definitions of power from Webster. The primary sense of the verb is to strain or to exert force. And the power may exist without exertion, but we have the power to speak when we are silent. I like that added in the definition there. Power may exist without exertion. We have the power to speak when we remain silent. And I don't believe that God called us to continually remain silent. But our lives live to the honor and glory of God. There is power that comes out of you that the world needs to tap into. Strong's definition is force, literally or figuratively, especially miraculous power. Usually, by implication, a miracle in itself is force. Force is the invisible motivator that motivates cars down the road. You see a car driving down the road, you don't see what's motivating it. You see a truck going down the road, you see Mark going down the road with his truck, you don't see what, Mark doesn't have his feet out on the ground and making it go. There is a force that's making that truck go. I got on an airplane to go to Sarasota here a couple weeks ago, and we went out on the runway, and that airplane took off, and it sits you back in the seat. I didn't see what was making that happen. I felt it. I felt every bit of it. It sits you back and you off into the sky you go. It's the motivator, the force. It's what makes it happen. And that is what the Holy Spirit is in your and my life today. When we go out to share the gospel message with a lost and dying world, the power of the Spirit is the motivator. It's what makes it happen. It's not the track you hand out. It's not the word you speak. While those things are things that God uses, without a shadow of a doubt, it's the power in the tract. It's the power in the word. It's the power in you living your life in obedience to Jesus Christ, in obedience to God. There's power in it. That's the motivator. That's what makes it happen. And this here power that we see, this, you know, we see freight trains and ships that are motivated by power. And it is big, it's awesome. And there are things that man makes that can draw us to stand in awe sometimes, and you know, just the diesel engine and its ability to move something forward, and some very huge things. But there is an impressive power that goes way beyond what man can make. Amen? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit power goes beyond what any man could ever produce. And I'm just impressed so many times when I think about how that by God's power, Moses saw the sun stand still with his hands up. No man has ever done that. Nobody has ever built nuclear weapons that can make the sun stop and stand still. No matter what kind of power that you can imagine on this earth, there is no power like the power of God. And is available to us through his Holy Spirit. By the power of God, Moses saw the Red Sea part. By the power of God, Joshua saw the Jordan River stop flowing. Dale Schwarzentruber talked to us last weekend about the Jordan River piling up and stopping miles away from where they were going to cross the river. Men can build dams and stuff, but nothing like what happened there. By this same power of God's Spirit, the apostles and the disciples, they saw miracles happen. They saw lame people walk. They saw blind people see. And it was through this here power of the Holy Spirit. And it's available to you and I when we open our mouths to share the gospel message with a lost and dying world. It's available to us. Do you believe that God is faithful? Do you believe that he's faithful to his promise? That the power will be in your life, that it'll be there when you need it, and it'll be available. Do you believe that? The Bible says it, and it's true, and I believe it. Do you believe it? So if we believe it, then that should affect how we interact with those that are in need of Jesus Christ. Is your life a witness of the power of God in you? Are the unsaved in your sphere of influence able to see God by your life? And I know that all of us probably could hang our heads in shame that there have been times that we have not acted very Christ-like. And I know that there are times that happen. I'm not making excuses for that, but how do you then recover from something like that? If you reacted in a wrong way to your child, if you reacted in a wrong way to a coworker, if you acted the wrong way to someone in authority, how do you recover from that? It's in the humility of the Holy Spirit. In humility. It's in humility. There's power. There is incredible power in humility. And all of us that are married, we recognize that. We had the lay pastors together yesterday, focused a little bit on marriage and just the culture that we live in today and how difficult it is for that when couples that are married finding it difficult to fellowship together. There's a reason for that. Satan hates marriage because marriage is an example of what God and his desire is for oneness with the body of Christ. And so he hates it, so it makes it difficult. When there's how we live our lives is a direct reflection of our belief in God with us. Let me say that again. How we live our lives is a direct reflection of our belief in God with us. You see, I can't walk away from God. If I'm a child of God, I can't get away from where he is at. Yes, I can deny Christ, I can reject him, and those kinds of things, but as a child of God, with God with me, he's always with me. He is always with me, no matter where I'm at, no matter where I go, no matter what I do, God is with me. And that's the beauty of the promise. In Romans 15:13, it says this, Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is the hope that I have? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the hope that I have. It's the hope that I can hold on to. Just as the Spirit of God is at work, there is an evil spirit at work as well. Let me say that again. Just as the Spirit of God is at work, there is an evil spirit at work as well. The power, there's no comparison, okay? God always wins, amen? When it comes to a test of power, as it relates to spirits, the Spirit of God will always win. I mean, you saw that with Moses when he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and then the test came, and he threw down his rod, and the magicians threw down their rods. Moses threw down his rod. It turned into a snake. The magicians threw down their rods. They turned into snakes, and Moses' snake ate up the other snakes. God wins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You do not need to be afraid to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ, because the worst thing that can happen is you can die. No. That's not the way I wanted to say that. It's not the worst thing to happen. It's for you to die for the kingdom of God. Many have, and many will. Many will die for the kingdom of God. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. The worst thing that can happen to you is to have rejected Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The God, the creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and hell, to have rejected his Son that he gave to redeem you and I, to redeem us unto himself, to have rejected him, that's the worst thing that you can do. So there is a spirit of evil at work as well as a spirit of good. And I believe that God desires that we would tap into it this morning. So he says in verse 8, he says, let me go back to Luke and just read a couple of verses in Luke 24. And again, it's the same account, but told just a little bit differently. And I just want to read this. Luke 24, 44 through 49. He says this, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, that the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, Jesus' name, to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And we know the story, how that unfolded, that the disciples, after they were out here on the mountain, and I guess it was a hill or whatever it was, but that's the picture you get. And Jesus is talking to them, telling them that, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And those were the last words that Jesus spoke on earth. In the following verse, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And I think maybe this morning, as the disciples stood there and they gazed into heaven, looking, the angel came and stood by them and said, why stand you gazing? And maybe you're here this morning and you're just still gazing. Because what he called them to was to go out, to get busy. Not just stand there and keep gazing. While that would be great, and while we should look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ, while we should, there's a work to do. It's not just to stand there gazing. When's he coming? But we have a work to do. We have been called to a ministry. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out and share the gospel message with the lost and dying world. How are you doing? How am I doing? What power? The power that comes from the Spirit of God, the power that opened the eyes of the blind, the hearts of believers, power that raised the dead, power that comes from God Himself. This is the power that we're talking about. This is the power that's promised to those who wait on God, to follow Him. The power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you can abide upon you. So power to do what? In this context, it is the power of God for the disciples to be able to preach the word and to perform signs and miracles as a testimony to the power and authority of God's saving gospel. It was the power that was given to the apostles to qualify or make real the word of God, and the word slipping my mind, but it was given to them. It was the power that they received to be able to do these things, to be able to affirm to the unsaved world that this was real. It is the power to speak the word of God. It's a power that is given to speak the word of God, wherever it may be. Some of you are involved in prison ministry and get involved with sharing with guys in prison, and some of you are ministering to people in the streets. Some of you are ministering to people that are family members. Some of you are ministering to people that live in your own home. Some of you are ministering to people that you work with. It is the power that God has given you to speak the gospel message boldly for Jesus Christ. And if it's fear that is holding you back, I ask you this morning to identify it and to recognize if it's fear that is keeping you from sharing the gospel message, identify it. One of the things that happened with me some years ago, Dave and I were invited to a retreat in Colorado. We went there. There was Lauren Miller was heading it up. There was a number of pastors that got together there, and I shared with one of the things that I shared with the pastors there is that I lacked boldness. And there was a number of guys, and there was one, and I might have told you this story before. If forgive me, but there was one young born again saved Amish school teacher that was there that day, who was leading his students to Christ right in his classroom. See, as teachers, we have an incredible opportunity to speak the gospel message. He was leading students to Christ. And Lauren Miller identified his boldness and asked him to lay hands on me and pray for me for boldness. And I can attest to you that after that day, I experienced a boldness that I did not have before and still have today. That's how I can share with you. If it's keeping you, find someone, identify someone who is not fearful. Find someone who's bold and covered by the covering of the Spirit of God. Ask for help. Because I believe that there is a certain amount of laying on of hands that is still happening today that brings us to a place, a better place, of being able to minister the gospel. It's the power to understand God's word. As we look back at those verses there in Luke, he opened in verse 45, Luke 24:45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Is that what's missing? Are you fearful this morning to go out and share the gospel message because you're not sure of the scriptures yourself? I've been there. I know what that's like. Are you fearful to go out and share the gospel message because you lack understanding of the scripture? Ask God to reveal the scriptures to you. Again, one of the things that happened when I got saved was the scriptures came alive. I read the Bible before I was saved, but when I got saved and the power of the Holy Spirit revealed the Bible to me, again, it brought boldness to be able to go out and share the message. Power to see your sin and repent of it. Maybe it is that there's something in your life that is keeping you from being an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Maybe there's something going on that you need to confess. Maybe there's things you're into that you need to confess to someone. Maybe you've been trying. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to overcome. The power of the Holy Spirit is available for you to overcome. You are not defeated. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that you're defeated. You're not. You are not defeated by the power of God. Whether it is learning the word, whether it's just boldness, whether it is something in your life that is keeping you from being an effective witness for Jesus Christ, to see your sin and repent of it. Revival. It's a great thing. Jesus did these miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not powerful in yourself. Jesus did his ministry. He did his miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not powerful in yourself. If you're out there trying to do it on your own, if you're out there and things are not right between you and God, that's trying to do it alone. If you're out there and you have not given your full heart, soul, and mind to Jesus Christ, then you will lack the true power to be able to walk in the Spirit. You are the creature. You are sinful. I didn't need to tell you that, did I? You know that. We are born sinners. We have a tendency to sin. But there is a power that is much greater than that. And the world needs to know it. The world needs to know it. There is broken people. There is broken people. You're powerless. Therefore, you need the power of God to carry you out, to carry out His will, not your own will, but to carry out His will. I think too many times there's people that are trying to accomplish their own thing. But be connected to what God wants. Be connected to Him. It's His message that we're to share, not mine. It's not to make me look good. It's not to make you look good. It's to make God look good. We are here to make God look good. Hallelujah. So get out of the way. Get out of the way of God looking good. If you are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, your branches will bring forth fruit to the honor and glory of God. What are the signs of the presence of the Holy Spirit? A desire for God to hear God's word, a desire for repentance, a desire to love others, a desire for the increase of knowledge and understanding of God's word. Those are signs of the Holy Spirit's presence. And then in Galatians there we have the joy, the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, all those things. And what are some of the signs of the Holy Spirit? Again, there's some others. Obedience. Obedience is a sign of the Holy Spirit within you. Do you desire to be obedient? Obedience is a sign of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says this, and all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. They were obedient, and the Spirit was poured out upon them. If you're obedient this morning. Prophesying is another way. It says in Acts 2:18, I will in those days pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Speaking of God to others, prophecy, prophesying God's word. There's repentance, speaking the word of God with boldness. It says, and when they had prayed, and this is important, when they had prayed, So the disciples left that place where they were standing, gazing up into heaven, and they went back to the upper room. And in that upper room, they got together and they had one awesome prayer meeting. It says there were about 150 of them there. They had an awesome prayer meeting. And during this prayer meeting, Peter stood up and began to speak. And at that time, the Spirit of God was poured out upon mankind. And they spoke in different tongues. And they were, the presence of God was recognized. It says in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. We know the message that Peter spoke. So prayer is such a vital, important part of being able to be a powerful witness for Jesus Christ is prayer. It starts with prayer. We need to pray and to bring honor and glory to God that way. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when the Holy Spirit is in you and upon you, you will speak of Jesus. Do you find that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are there bitter cursings and angry words coming out of your mouth? That does not reflect the Holy Spirit. In fact, it hinders what the Holy Spirit can do through you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is inside is what comes out. What kind of witness are you? I ask it at the beginning, I ask it at the closing. What kind of witness are you? And Jesus says, where are you supposed to be this witness? Right here, in Jerusalem. Right here, you are to be witnesses. And when the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be witnesses. This is not something you have to pull out of your pocket or something you have to conjure up to be a witness. When the Holy Spirit is in you, you will be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen? When the Holy Spirit is active and present in your life, you will be a witness. That's the Bible. I didn't write it. That's what it says. You will be a witness. Where? Here. Where? Ephrata, Lancaster County. Where? America. Where? The whole world. You will be a witness wherever you are, wherever you go, to the honor and glory of God. And I ask you this morning, are you a witness filled with the power of Jesus Christ this morning? Are you a witness for Jesus Christ? If there are things that are hindering it, if there are things that are standing in the way, deal with them. Deal with them. God has made provision for that. He's made provision for repentance. He gave his son to die so that you don't need to die. It's in Jesus Christ and in him alone that you will find your way to the Father. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And all the world needs to know that. We have a nugget of truth that is beyond value, and how we treat it is what we believe about it. Do you really believe that is the best thing that has ever happened to you and should happen to everyone? Father, we thank you this morning for your written holy word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity or the privilege, the responsibility, Lord, that you have given us with your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, this morning that that power that was placed in us and the responsibility we have to it would become part of our lives, that we would be able to embrace it, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would move through us. I pray that your Spirit would move among us, Lord, that we would be able to be witnesses as you told us we would be when the power of your Spirit comes upon us. And we believe that there are, that this morning, we believe, Lord, that when your Spirit is upon us, your power is in us, then we are effective witnesses for you. Help us to live that out. Help us to get rid of the things that stand in the way. Father, if there's anything this morning, if there's anyone here who is struggling with that truth. Is there anyone here this morning, Lord, that does not know you? I pray, Father, that at this time, in this place, that no one would walk out of these doors without being right with you and being a weapon against Satan's army. Father, we invite you to come. We invite your Spirit to be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stand for a closing song. And this morning, the altar is open. If God is speaking to you this morning, if there's fear or if there's something, anything that you need to do business with God, don't be afraid to come and kneel at the altar. Someone will pray with you, or if you'd rather not, they won't. But just to be truthful and faithful and allow the Spirit of God through His power to work in you, in Jesus' name.